adopt amendment.
For?
And I think Perik Sishi. Mangdon da Haile Commissioner.
Yetoma. שנתעשה ונתגרשה, רבי אלעזר אומר, האונס חייב והמפתה פטור. This is a little bit of a confusing Mishnah, the way it reads בפשטות. Seems to be saying that if you have a woman who has no father, plus she had also been engaged and divorced, engaged, of course, meaning her father had accepted Kiddushin, so then Rabbi Elazar says that if it's a case of ones, so then he has to pay her knas. But if it's a mefateh, since she agreed to the seduction, obviously, by definition, so then he's potter, because since the knas is hers, then he doesn't have to pay because she's with mochelet through agreeing. So it is not at all clear what the relationship is between the word yetoma and anitas of anitgarsha. I mean, we did have the question before of, uniquely to the din of knas, a woman leaves the rishus of the father after there is a erusin and a gerushin, according to Rabbi Akiva, and there's still a knas, but it doesn't go to the father, it goes to her. Or if her father accepts the kedusha, the husband died, as the case may be. But the relationship between a yetoma, who also was in Taras ben Gersha, is not at all clear. Says Rabbi Bar Bachanan, Rabbi Yochanan, the Mishnah is not what it seems to be. Actually, Rabbi Elazar, who says over here that the mefata is potter, is speaking even in a case where her father is alive. But this is a separate case, Shinitar Savinit Garsha, and that in that case she has a din of yetoma, and that she herself gets now the very same thing that her father would have received. So that we're talking about over here, Nitarsim and Nitgarsha, who could be called a yetoma. Because in that sense, she's a yetoma, so to speak, Bekaye Avia, in a new way, when it comes specifically to Knat. Or, of course, it could be two cases. But we'll see about this in a moment. But he's going according to the sheet of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva said the Omar, he said in the Mishnah, as opposed to Rabbi Akiva in the Braita, that Yesh la Knas, but as opposed to the other dinim in the Pasuk that take away the halacha of Knas, for instance, it says she has to be a Da'ara, so she can't be a Bogeret. If she is a Bogeret, there's no Knas at all. It says that she can't be a Buhula, she has to be a Bitula. If she's a Buhula, there's no Knas at all. So the Asher lo Orasa, says Rabbi Akiva, is unique, and that it doesn't mean there's no knas at all. It means there's no knas to the father in terms of the continuation of the pasuk v'natan la'avia na'ara. This too is Rabbi Elazar Shita, like his Rebbe, and therefore he says in this case that if she was in Tar Seven Nidgarsha, she has the same din as the Yitoma. So yesh la knas or knas latzma. Mimai, how do we know that it's talking about that her father is actually alive, and that Rabbi Akiva is the source of Rabbi Elazar's halacha, that there is a knas, but the knas goes to her? Is it not also possible that Rabbi Elazar might hold like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that a narsh and his arasim and his garsha doesn't even have knas? And we're just talking about over here, the onis being chayiv and the mefata being potter may be referring to Bosha Tupgam. But I'm going to prove it to you. Mimai. Why do I say this, said Rabbi Bar Bachanan? I say it, midiktani, because of the fact that the Mishnah needs to mention Yetoma, Rabbi Elazar Omer Ones Chayav, and Mefateh Patur. Now, if it tells me that the Mefateh is Potur, obviously it means that she gets the Knas, and that the Mefateh has been Mochelet on the Knas, and that's the case. But isn't that rather obvious? I mean, Yetoma Pshita, if there is no father, so obviously the Knas is not going to go to the father, and obviously she was Mochelet by agreeing to be seduced. So what in the world is the point of mentioning Yetoma at all? Ella, the only possibility is that we're talking about two separate cases over here. In other words, talking about a yetoma. Or a nara murasad, garsha, who actually has a father, but has the same din as the yetoma. V'okamashman, the nara, shenitar savin, it garsha, has the same din as the yetoma. Ma yetoma la atzma, just like the yetoma, but by definition, the knas is hers and not her father's. Av nara, shenitar savin, it garsha. The knas is by definition le'atzma, which is exactly what Rabbi Akiva, as opposed to Rabbi Akiva in the Bright, what Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah had said.
Therefore, it must be that the other case is saying in the same way that the Torah tells us that the fact that there is no father is irrelevant to the chiyuv of knas when it comes to yetoma. So too is the fact that she was yotzei mershut avia for the knas, also irrelevant to the din of knas. And it must be that there is a knas, but that the knas is latzma. And therefore, who's the one who says that? Shita. is Rabbi Akiva. So he must be, that's why I say, says Rabbi Yochanan, he must be going out of the sheet of this Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva. Omer Rabbi Zera, Omer Rabbi Barshil, Omer Rabbi Nuna Saba, Omer Rabbi Barav, Omer Rav, Halacha ke Rabbi Elazar. That's how we paskin, that a Yetoma, the same way Yetoma has a Knas Latzma, so too is a Nara that was Nitar 7 in Garsha, she has a Knas Latzma. Kori Rav Alei the Rabbi Elazar, Tuvina de Chafimi. And Rav pointed out over here that the Chlal, Rabbi Elazar, is from the absolute top of the Chachamim. When he says Halacha, then it means it's something that you can rely on, that he understands the Halacha. Now this is all very strange. If it turns out that Rabbi Yochanan is right, then he's not adding a darn thing. He's telling us to cheat the Rabbi Akiva. And what are we coming to Paskin like Rabbi Elazar? We're Paskin like Rabbi Elazar. Paskin like Rabbi Akiva. And if he's just saying over the mimer of his Rebbe, so let him say what Rabbi Akiva said. It makes absolutely no sense. A lot of discussion of what this Mishnah might be coming to be doing. So some say to Pashtas, we can't Paskin like Rabbi Akiva, because we have two different Shitas of Rabbi Akiva. And we just have a Rabbi Akiva. We have the bright of Rabbi Akiva that talks about the in the Mishnah it says Yesh Laknas and the Knas Latzma. According to Rabbi Akiva and the Braita, Yesh Laknas and Knas Laavia. So we certainly have to distinguish between those two Shitas. We can't just stand like Rabbi Akiva. But nonetheless, I mean, what are we coming along now with Dafka to say that he's divinity to Chafimi? What is that supposed to mean? So the Rajba says that the meaning is that because he brings the Mishnah in this funny way, and he says Yitoma, which is irrelevant, unless it's coming to be Mazba the Tam of Rabbi Akiva. So he says, does it not, nobody argues that if there was no father, there should be no class. Which, if you tell me that the meaning in the Pasuk of Nara Betula is that just like the Nara can't be a Bogeret, and just like the Betula can't be a Bu'ula, so then the same thing would be true of the Nara, they're supposed to be Benatan Lavia Nara. If there is no Avia Nara, so then there's no Knas. Nobody says that. So therefore, Tain is Rabbi Akiva. Then when it comes to the question, and why is that? There was no Shinui Begufa. So Abu'ula is a Shinui Begufa. She's not a Nara, Shinui Begufa. She's changed. She's not the same child that she was. But in the case where there's no father, that's irrelevant to her body. And so too in the case where she had gone through the technicalities of the acceptance of the Kedushin from her father, accepted Kedushin, and now the husband died. Does it change in her? Make some kind of nafkamina in her? So in the same way that you're all agreed that where there are other things that happen to her that don't change her as a person, it's not going to affect the halacha of Knas. And there is a din of Knas, despite the fact that the Knas doesn't go to the father, then why not say that that's the obvious meaning of Asher Lo Arasa? That it's coming only to define the status of who gets the Knas, but not whether there is a Knas. Therefore, says the Rambam, so it turns out that Rabbi Elazar, by saying that simple word, is explaining why we paskin like Rabbi Akiva. He's giving us insight into the limiter that we didn't have earlier. Before we were talking about that, we know that we need to make a missing link between the Parsha Mefata and the Parsha of Ones. All of a sudden, we now see in the context of the Pasuk itself, that's Tuvina de Chachimoy. Tuvina de Chachimoy means someone who has insight, someone who's able to explain things. That's what he did by the use of one word. It's brilliant. That's what Rav was pointing out. That's one approach. Now, there's another very serious issue which has to do with this question. It's interesting, Maravik. Some of the Achronim bring a riot from this Mishnah to the Shita and the Rosh in understanding whether the Mishnah is referring to Dafka to this din of Knas, or does this also have implications for the halacha of Boshet Upaka? So let me ask you something. This girl over here, we're going to say, has a din of a Yetoma. If we mafata her, she doesn't get a Knas because, I mean, she agreed to be seduced. Why should she get a Knas? How about Boshet Upaka? Is this halacha of the Nara that now is Nitarsa and Nitgarsha? It was said in context of Knas. We know that it's not a real removal of the woman from the reshut of the father. In other words, let's say that the father right now wants to go ahead and accept Kedushin for her, after he had accepted Kedushin and now the husband died. Can he accept Kedushin again? Absolutely. Are we going to say, but excuse me, didn't the Torah say that had she been raped in the interim, that then already, according to the Chum, she wouldn't get the rights to it? We would say that's only a special halacha. I mean, why would it say necessarily across the board that the father lost his rights to her? It doesn't say that. So now, if that's the case, we're going to see later on that the reason that we assume that the father also gets the rights to the boshet u'pgam, even though it doesn't say v'natan la v'anara boshta u'pgama. It says v'natan la v'anara chamishim kasa. But since the father is in fact the one who had the rights to the kedusha, and therefore if he wanted to, he could have made her life just as miserable as this rapist made her. All he needs to do is to be makabel kedushin from someone as horrific as this rapist or worse. But he has the right to do that. And therefore, any pagam that occurs, any boshet that occurs, it only makes sense that it belongs to him because he's the one that's empowered. The loss, in a sense, is taken by him, not by her. So therefore, the Gemara says, in general, I'm going to pay boshet pagam to the father. Why would the fact of erisin change that? So in other words, we have over here a fundamental question. Is there a linkage of the tashlumim of knas to boshet pagam in terms of the father? So when the Torah says a halacha of when the father has rights, and he only has these rights if she was an narasha lo orasa, does that impact boshet u'pgam as well? The Rush takes for granted that of course it impacts boshet u'pgam, it's all one halacha. If the father loses his rights to knas, he also loses the rights to boshet u'pgam. Taina sum, huh? Now that would be what Rav Elazar is saying. Because he's comparing it to Yitoma. So the whole din of the Yitoma means that now she has her own yad, basically. It was he lost his legal rights to his daughter. So that means, obviously, we can't say, so he's the one that's going to get the boshet u'pgam. Let's say he had sold her, whatever, right? So he loses the rights. If that's the case, then this year, Rav Elazar would be, some actually say, that's the Chiddush of the Mishnah. Rav Elazar is comparing all of the din. That's a tremendous Chiddush. It was on that that Rav was saying, to the end of Chachimah. We didn't see that before at all. We had no idea that this was comparable to the loss of rights the way you would have with the atonement. When it comes out to the Rambam sheet, however, this is the Rambam who's following now the Rimi Gash. The Rimi Gash is his father's Rebbe. In a very rare testimony, it's one of the most astonishing testimonies. The Rambam writes about the Rimi Gash. It's an awesome thing. Because, I mean, you know, you figure the Rambam, you think about the Rambam, and this is a man who writes Baruch HaKadosh, you see very clearly, it's not a normal human being, right? So this is the Rambam now says, if you would meet the Rimi Gash, he says, this man's mind is absolutely frightening. The word that he uses, mavit, is terrifying to be in the presence of a man with a mind like that. It's the Rambam. It's like, oh my God, forget it. That's a terrifying thought that the Rambam could be terrified by a mind. Anyway, what a word, mavi'it. So it's scary, like it's in English, that's what the word means. It's scary when you get like that. So in any event, he follows over here the shita of the Rimi Gash. So according to that, what in the world does one have to do with the other? The father still has the rights to marry her. Nobody's arguing on that. There's certainly no yitzia mirshut ha'av. Therefore, that can't be what it means, albeit at the present Yitoma. It can only be maybe the diak and the pasik vis-a-vis the kenach, but certainly not in terms of boshet u'pgam. It's interesting that there's Yerushalmi that seems to be like the Rambam, the Feirush, and there even some achronim who write that maybe the Rush didn't have this Yerushalmi. But very often the Yerushalmi didn't have some of the Masechtas Yerushalmi that were lost to, like many of the Masechtas are still lost. So, or maybe at a different year, so, but the passion of the years, the way we have it, is that it's only a din in knas, not a din in boshet u'pgam, which leads us directly into the next Mishnah, as we shall see. A zehu boshet. How exactly do we come to pay boshet? Well, there's no rules for that, you see. Hakol lefi ha-mevayesh va-mitvayesh. Basically, you have an interesting situation, which have a sliding scale. Because the relationship of the mevayesh to the mitvayesh is a very important one. There's a point, and it needs to be analyzed, actually, on a sliding scale. I mean, it's technically correct. I don't think that it's used, but it's one word. But in any event, the relationship between the two is of the essence. Why? Because someone who is way, way beneath the status of the other can cause very little bushi. In other words, if a monkey comes over and slaps you in the face, what are you going to say? It's very embarrassing. It's cute. It's not embarrassing. It's silly. Right? It's an interesting event in the zoo. So if you're walking through Harlem and somebody comes and beats you in the face, you can have the same feeling.
Auspicious.
I mean, I don't have to mean it. It's a busha. I mean, it's not like a behemoth comes and hits you. It's not an again. Right? On the other hand, as the person begins to approach your level, it becomes part of your society, part of your... It's nothing to do with race. It's not an issue of race that you're giggling. It just has to do with it's just not part of your reality, and therefore doesn't affect you in any way. You're walking together with a bunch of friends, and somebody walks over with a big boombox and taps you on in the front. That's silly. That's all. Mashenkin, if it would be somebody that's already part of your society, so then once he enters into that set, at least Bush is applicable, and it becomes a meaningful question. Then it's very interesting, because then as it starts switching in the other direction, you have a sudden twist of the curve. If somebody is above you in status, and now is Mavayash, that's very painful. But suppose somebody is so far above you that the relationship is now a relationship of, let's say, a young Talmud to a Rav. So that's already not such a busha, because look, Rabbi Akiva got beaten by his Rebbe when he was 40 years old. Not such a busha. This is the situation. It's somebody that's way above me, has a right to be mokia, so on and so forth. So you have an interesting sliding interrelationship in which you have a curve that the relationship defines, not the person per se, but the relationship of the person. Therefore, we can't, that's why it says,
It's an interaction.
Now, the truth is that there are a lot of steerers in this circuit. In other words, there, in some place, Rashi says Beferish. Here he says that the mitbayesh lefi chashivuto bushto. Now the mitbayesh is dependent always on the more of his chashivas. The mibayesh, here he says adam benani and mibayesh is the benani is bushto kasha from either way. So he defines the bell curve. But in other places it says otherwise, that actually it isn't a type of relationship. It's someone at Taina. That it depends where the Boshet is coming from. Because if you're talking about rape, then there is a busha, even if somebody is very zolel. But the very cheap person that rapes a woman causes greater busha, in a sense, because of the fact that it's sexual. It's a violation of intimacy, which it becomes even more outrageous when it's done in this fashion. So it's not a normal type of busha, where you may have to take into consideration the sliding scale. So again, that already is a machlokus how to understand that. But here Rashi brings it here, Lagabi, the din of Boshe Subgam. In other places he appears to hold. Not like that's a lot of discussion of what appears to be a spirit in Rashi. But in any event, let's assume, as he says here, that it's a sliding scale of the relationship of a mivayesh and a mitvayesh. And the more kosher a person is, obviously the more sensitive he is to being placed into an embarrassing situation, and so his busha will go up. What about Pagam? How do we measure pigam? I mean, pigam is a strange kind of word. The fact that she is no longer a betulah, that's like a difficult thing to measure. Ro'imota. Now, just like every nezek, what we do is, we try, it's a type of nezek, but it's a sexual nezek. So how do you estimate? I mean, I understand, if somebody doesn't have a hand, so he fetches a different market value. I mean, what are we, putting her on the white slave market for prostitution? What exactly is the type of market that we're looking at for the difference between a betulah and a bu'ulah? That's not quite Japan. We're going to have an auction or obligation. You know, what are we doing over here? Ro'inotah, the Mishnah says something which is strange. Ro'inotah. Ki yu yishivchan in keret bashuk, kama haita yafa wa kama hi yafa. I think Mara's going to ask, I mean, you're selling a shivchan in a shuk, why is she being measured sexually? I mean, they shouldn't even talk about it, no? I mean, well, you know, even if a guy's got vicious plans, we're going to have the market reflecting those plans openly. So what are we talking about over here? The Gemara will ask this. When it comes to knas, the knas is shaveh b'chol adam. Indeed, kol sheyesh lo kitzbah min ha-Torah shaveh b'chol adam. Wherever the Torah defines a payment, then that payment never varies. No matter how it seems to be outrageous that it shouldn't vary, it's the kitzvah itself that doesn't vary. Now we'll see that, I mean, on the surface, that appears to be almost a tautology. It is a kitzvah because of the fact it doesn't vary. So tell me, it doesn't vary, therefore we'll call it a kitzvah, because it's a kitzvah, it doesn't vary. But that's what a kitzvah means, doesn't it? we'll see that actually this is a meaningful statement from the way that the Gemara is going to come to discuss this. So first our question is, if you're telling me that there is a Knas, the Knas has a Kitzbah, then maybe that's it. Maybe the Torah says that the penalty for rape is Chabishim Tzla'im, period. And that's supposed to include all ancillary damages, and that it's just a straight-out Knas, it doesn't leave you open. You're assuming all along there's two completely different components. There's a standard component of assault and battery, which makes absolutely no difference if it's sexual assault and battery or any other assault and battery. Then you have this special thing that the Torah acknowledges is a violation of a more intimate nature, which requires Hamishim Shekel in the case of Betula. Who says that that's true? Maybe it's the type of thing that the Torah gives a kitzvah across the board for. Hamishim Shleim Omarach Wanami Komili, and that includes Boshet Ubgam as well. Omer Abizera, that doesn't make sense. I mean, Yom Lu, Ba'al Bat Melachim Hamishim, Ba'al Bat Hedyotot Hamishim. You're telling me it makes a difference if you rape a princess? Or if you rape a regular girl? I mean, shouldn't there be a difference? What kind of argument is that? Isn't that the kind of kitzvah? Oh, well, every kitzvah is like that. I mean, Gabi Eved Nami. You can say the same thing. The Torah says you're supposed to pay Shloshim Shkalim if your shor goes down and kills an Eved. And over there we're all agreed that that is the sum total of the Tashlumim. Now, you could say the same thing over there. You own an Eved who is a trained diamond cutter. The guy's worth his weight in gold, because diamonds are a lot more valuable. And you're going to pay Shloshim Shkolim for his loss. On the other hand, you've got an Eved who's a tailor. He's the little tailor over there in the shtetl. He's also Maaseh Machatz. You pay Shloshim for him, and you pay Shloshim for the diamond cutter. How could it be? So nobody says it. Obviously, that's the point of having a kitzvah. So what are you complaining about? Elam or Vizera? Well, okay, because that's really, you're right, a status issue maybe, but look at it this way. How about Ilu Bo Ale Ashnai? Let's say that two guys get together with this rape, okay? Echad Kedarka Vechad Shalo Kedarka, not in that order. So the first guy, he rapes her, but it doesn't take out her betulim. So she remains now a betuma. The second guy rapes her now. They're both going to be chayiv in the knas. Isn't that ridiculous? Wouldn't you say, Ba'al Shleimah Hamishim, Ba'al Pagumah Hamishim? And over there, there's a difference in her body. I'm going to buy me, you say the same thing, by an Ebed. I bring the same thing by an Ebed, where there's an actual change in it. You'll say, somebody, by the way, there's something of a question between Rashi and Tosafos about whether we're talking the same person. In other words, is it the same woman, or are we talking about two different cases? Why that would be true is difficult to understand, because the Gemara comes out of Kedushin Beferish that even if a woman had gone through anal intercourse, she's still considered to be a betula in terms of this halacha. Now, so therefore, why couldn't it be the same woman? The first guy is Baal Shalom Kedarka, second guy Kedarka. Okay, it can't be that we're ignoring that sugya. There may be other reasons why we'd be comparing two cases. One where a guy raped a woman who was a betula but had been in the Avelat Shalom Kedarka, and one where he's a ma'anes, a normal woman who is a full betula. But however, the argument is the same argument. And the question of the status of the betula Shalom Kedarka is a question we'll discuss later. But says Abaya, you can say the same thing by an Eved. Let's say, your shor kills an Eved Bari. He's a perfectly healthy, great guy. Forget about what he's worth. Okay, he's done it with what he's worth in terms of his status. He's a diamond cutter and so on. Oh, I accept your argument. But how about the fact that he's an Eved Bari, you pay 30. Or you pay an Eved who's basically dying. The guy's got cancer. He's a mukashin. He's a varmer falling off. They've already cut off his leg and his arm and so on. The shor killed this guy. You're still going to pay now. In that case, a full shloshim shekel. So you see that's not a taina. I mean, it also doesn't seem to be meaningful. What are we coming back now to argue the same point? We've already explained it as a kitzvah. Well, why did we think now that there's going to be an afkamina between the shlema and the peguma and so on? So it's clear that initially there is a havamina here. The way Rabbi Zera is approaching this is that the concept of knas, if it would be a set payment in the way that it includes everything else, a component of that knas would be taken into consideration. His first thought is, the pagam. Is there a greater pagam of a princess than there is a... Yes, there certainly is. But, I mean, if that's the case, it's taken into consideration, saying, well, there's a component that is set aside that the Torah takes into consideration for covering those cases. Okay, so we show you, but that's not the case. Okay, but, I mean, certainly it is an afkamina in terms of how much actual damage was done. No, also not true. So, in other words, the statement of Yer Koshi Yeshla Kitzva Minatara Shavva B'Kol Adam is meaningful in the sense that it incorporates these arguments, right? It's always going to be Shavva. I don't care whether you think it ought to have other components or not. That's irrelevant. The Kitzva itself means that you cannot say, but that would only be under circumstances where this component was incorporated. Lamaisa, it's not even true that it has other components. And in fact, as I show you, says Abaye, there are cases where you have a kitzva that clearly has no other components, such as the case of Shloshim Shoheter. We take nothing into consideration. That means that the nature of kitzva is there is no boshas upgam. That's the point. So then your question has to be, who's to say that there's boshas upgam? Not to say, wouldn't it make an afkamina if the kitzva would include boshas upgam? That's not the point. So now, come and answer that question. Who's to say there's boshas upgam? I'll tell you. I'll tell you. You want to know how? El Amar Abaye, Amar Kra Takas Asherina. It's Abaye's old standby that we had earlier. Why does the Torah mention it? You're telling me a whole maisa in which the person now violates a woman and he should pay 50 shekel, and then in the end you say, because of the fact that he had sex with her. Well, obviously, what else are we talking about? It must be to tell me that it's davka for that component. That's what it means. I need you to understand, says the Torah. There are two elements that we need to talk about. There's ina. Inui is specifically a sexual reference, like we find with Yaakov and Laban, right? When Laban says, you know, don't be ma'aner benotai. Okay, so we learn out from the Legabi Yom Kippur, the Yisra Tash Mishavita. V'ini tenet nafshotechem. Inui relates to sexual issues. But there's other issues. Otherwise, I wouldn't have to tell you. It's obvious that there's sexual issues if we're talking about a rape. So if I'm telling you, this is only for Tavad Asherina, so what does that mean? Of course, I'm not saying forget about normal assault and battery. This is also a case of assault and battery. Split it into two separate sections. One is a quasi-criminal issue, which is a knas, it's a fine, and the other is a civil issue, which I'm suing you. Which would be true in modern and contemporary law, also in civil law, right? I mean, you could be over criminally. And then there's also this other civil component. What's that? Yeah, obviously. Rava Omar. Rava says, and of course we had Rava's Rosh also earlier. Omar Krov v'natan ha'ish ha'shochev ima la'avia na'ara 50 kesef. Why does it say ha'shochev ima? For heaven's sakes, what are we talking about? It's not ha'shochev ima. That's what the whole story was. You have to know, who do we think it's talking about? The cops are going to pay. Of course it's ha'shochev ima. Therefore, must be coming to tell me that only hana'at shkiva, it's for that component and that component only, that you're paying the chamishim. But that means there's other components, and that's the regular assault and battery. Bechlal de'ika boshetup. Oh, so now we know there's two components. Now let's get back to the issue that we raised in the earlier mission. Where does there ever say that the father is the one that gets the boshetup gun? See, I thought, that's why these two missions are very complementary. I thought that actually there was only one issue, this knas. Now you're telling me there's really two issues, but it makes an afkamina, that's what the first mission says. It makes an afkamina if she's a yatoma or had been mochelet, and so on and so forth. Now all of a sudden you're telling me that it goes to the father. I mean, why are we making that assumption? Why? What's afkamina if she's a yatoma? Now that I see that the basis of the drasha is that included in the parsha of rape are two different things. Who's to say that this was before even mentioned in terms of an atan lavia nara? Now I know that she can take the guy to court. I mean, she's a nara. She's not a katana. She's a nara. Let her take the guy to court and sue it. Why should the father get the money? Answers the Gemara. There's actually, Omar Kro, there's another pasuk. The pasuk says, b'ne'ureha beit aviya. Now this indeed is said to be the daughter. The Dorim, after saying the father should take her the neder and he can cancel the neder and so on, in the end,
after saying everything, it says, Moshe, this is the halacha of Anish Nishtobin, Abba Bito, Benurea Beit Aviyah. I mean, what, obviously Benurea Beit Aviyah, that's what we're talking about. So Benurea Beit Aviyah must be coming to tell me additionally that there is a concept of a Nara who remains in the house of her father for all issues, not only for Nidorin. And Kol Shevach Neurea LaAviyah, any money that is coming in by virtue of things that happened to her as a Nara, go to her father. Okay, so if that's the case, of the Gemara, how do we know that if a Nara gets a job, that the father gets her salary? So we say, well, listen, it's very simple. Shenema v'chim kor ishet bito la'ama. Ma'ama ma'aseya de'a l'rabah, avbat ma'aseya de'a l'aviyah. If the father can sell the rights to her ma'aseya da'im, I mean, after all, when he sells her as an ama, so that means that she's going to be working for a guy. Is he going to be paying her? No, he's not going to be paying her. So how could the father sell the rights to work if he doesn't own the rights? So obviously that means, in the same way, she would be now working for this Adon, so therefore if he didn't sell her, so he has those rights. And if that's the case, I mean, what do we need? Why are we even thinking about it? I thought we have a general rule. We're not looking for a logical explanation based on the din of Amma. Just say, the Torah says, which means if she finds something on the beach, or if she goes and she wears, whatever it means, the father gets it. So it's like, she's an extension of Yadav. Ella, obviously the reason that Rav Huna did not think that that was a valid basis for this halacha, and he needed to look to the din of Amma Yibriya, is because there's the obvious response that Ahiba Afarat Nedarim Udichti, that that pasuk is said in a very unique context, which is the din of Afarat Nedarim. So you'll say, okay, fine, it's a unique context, but why can't we learn out all halachas from that particular context? I mean, that's called a limud. Mama Tzino, when it comes to the dinim of the Darim, it belongs to the father, so doing all things. No siree. The rule is, Mamona Misura Layafina. We have two completely different sets of halachas. One that defines monetary ownership, and one that defines dinim that have to do with Isser. Halachas, the fact that you're telling me the Torah says a neder, what are you going to bring me a riot from a neder? I mean, a neder involves all types of other issues that are completely, totally irrelevant when it comes to issues of ownership, right? So you're going to tell me, because the father, who knows whether that's because the Torah is defining some type of psychological dependency of the child on the father, which means that her das relates to that. Do I know what's involved in that? How can I bring a riot from Isurim that have special halachas to a din in whether he owns mona? Makes no sense. I can't learn out one from that. So, and if you'll say, well, what about knas? The Torah said the father gets the knas. That's money. So why can't I learn out that the Torah also says, get the Bashar Sukkah? I can't do that either, you see, because Mamona Miknasa Layafin. I can't even learn out Mamona Miknas. Actually, the Rishonim explained that the Gemara is taking into consideration over here a Mamatsinu. In other words, obviously we understand that the Knas is a unique thing, right? And that it's only over there that the Torah gives a special halachas of Yotzei Mirshusay and so on, like an Erisin. But I would have thought, let's make a Mamatsinu. Obviously, it's not the fact that it's Knas that's important. Let's take a look at Neder. Obviously, it's not the fact that it's Issa that's important. Take a look at Knas. Therefore, the Mitzada Shavash of Enayim is that she's an Ara and she's in Rishus of the Father. Af Lachomili, she's an Ara and she's in Rishus of the Father. Nonetheless, as the I can't learn out Mamona Miknasa in any way. Because the point of a Knas is that it's a Chiddush. And if it's a Chiddush, it doesn't have to fit any normative approach of logic. Because you wouldn't come up for any logical reason to decide, let's create a knas of Hamishim Shekel for an Oedizim of Fire. Either that exists actually out of left field, or it doesn't. So how are you going to now apply the dinim of a matzah to the knas? I mean, it's irrelevant what you're telling me logic. In which case, I have no basis for learning out, not directly from Benurea Beit Aviyah, and not even from a combination of Benurea Beit Aviyah with the insight of knas. That's exactly why Rav Huna had to look elsewhere. So you're back to the original question. How do you know that the Boshet Tugam goes to the father? Okay, I'll tell you why. Let me start, Brother Aviyavi. This is the svar that we mentioned back at the beginning of today's learning in the other Mishnah, which was the basis of the Machlokas, the Rosh and the Rimigash. Mistavra the Aviyahavi. The Iboy Masarla Menuval Mukashim. He could, if he wished, accept Kedushin from anybody in the world for her. The Torah didn't limit his rights of accepting Kedushin. Since that's the case, it means that anything horrible that happens to her, he was also given rights to. So why wouldn't he be now the recipient of the Boshet Tupagam as well? And again, that already you can see, if that's the Svara, then it wouldn't make any nafkamina if she was a Nahara Shinditar Savin Garshan, because she was not Yotzi Mishuto, he still has that Rishos. Therefore, it makes a very, very deep impression on us, Lahalacha, whether in fact we're combining the dinim of Knas and the payments of Boshet Tupagam. So that wherever there is Knas, there's Boshet Tupagam, to whomever it goes, whether it's Knas and Boshet Tupagam, or whether we learn that these are two completely different worlds. The question is whether this is just a Sephora that's a Gilui Milta. As we now see that it makes sense it would go to the father, but that the Etzem, Tachat Asher Ina, tells us there are really two sets of Tashlumi. If you want to come along and ask me, and how do you know that the two sets go to the same person, I'll tell you it's reasonable. Now where you have a Gzeres HaKos, that the Nara who was Nitar Savanit Garsha was Yotza Mirushut Avia in terms of Knas, I'm still going to say that that's true for Boshet Tupagam, despite the fact that the makor of the Boshet Tupagam is not directly in the Knas, but in this Svara, because the Svara is only Gilui Milta. This is better than the Machlokas, the Rosh and the Rambam, and the Rosh and the Rimigash Svara, you see.
We had a call earlier on, one day that said, Kumakum Sheikh Knas in Mecher, Kumakum Sheikh Mecher in Knas, Rambam, I think we seem to go against that, no?
Actually, that's the very next thing. Let's hold for that. Yes, Albert.
How do you address the depreciation of it for itself?
We're getting to that. That's the Pagam that we're going to talk about in a second. Okay, so we have a brilliant machlokas here, which completely changes the way that we appreciate the Sugya, whether this is truly a makar, or we actually do link Boshet Tupagam to Knas. And indeed, Tosfos earlier said, and over here he's bothered by the fact that he himself said it earlier, that we're actually makish Knas, the Boshet Tupagam, in terms of the Tashlumi. So Tosfos says, well, if that's the case, why? What's the Gemara's question for Ema Ledida? Well, it can't be Ledida, because we have the Hekesh. Says Tosfos, the Hekesh only makes sense after we know that it will go Lavia, then we combine. Exactly. You see clearly from there that there certainly is a Svara to say, this is a Gilui Milta, but once it's there, that it goes to the Father, then we understand that there's a linkage between all of the Tashlumim in these cases. They're not really two completely different suits. It's not that we have one suit for the Knas and one suit for the Boshet Tupagam. Indeed, they're all linked. And that, again, explains the strange discussion between Rabbi Zeira and Abaye at the beginning of the Sugya. We're taking for granted that there's such a profound linkage that we thought that if there would be only one, that there must be a component of Boshet Tupagam even included in the Knas or Banim. And Zev will kill it. Good. Continued the Mishnah. You can't do this after asking yourself. Pigam. The next thing that we said. Pigam ro'im otak ilu hishifkan nimkarat b'shuk. Hechi shayminan. How exactly do we make that estimation? I don't understand. This is the white slavery market? Well, what is this? Well, no, I mean, a guy certainly would love to have a beautiful virgin taking care of him, wouldn't he? What? What do you care? I said, what is this? Going to put a sign on her? I am a virgin. And have her dress beautifully to bring you a cup of tea in the morning? And this is what we're paying the difference for? Ella, of course, can't mean that. It's got to be that it's a sexual issue. But I mean, how is he paying now for that difference? It is sexual, not for him. So he's going to buy her for someone who's allowed to be sleeping with the shifra, right? Okay, so he's got this eved, so now he wants to buy him a gift. So here's the geisha. Huh. Ask the Gemara, but l'avdo, my nafkalei mi'ah, what does he care if his eved gets a galula or his eved gets a betula? He's going to not spend more money for his eved. We can get a slightly used woman for a lot less. What does he need to pay more money for? Well, it's talking about the Eved, Sheyeshul Arabo, Karab Ruachimena. He really likes this Eved. He feels this Eved is like a top guy. You know? So if that's the case, he wants to buy him a nice geisha. So over there, what more beautiful gift could there be? It's very interesting. You find everything in the Torah, right? Memoirs. right here. We want to get a nice geisha for your eved. If you like the eved, you'll pay that premium. So therefore, that is the premium. So Tosha's tainas, I mean, isn't the issue of pagam not a universal issue to be reduced to shifcha? I don't understand. Normally, when we're talking about nezek, so I understand that nezek is a question of functionality. Betula bu'ula is not a question of functionality. So what are we reducing it to functionality for? If we take a shifcha, you're telling me that in terms of pagam, if we have Princess Diana, she now becomes a generic shifcha? I mean, if a guy would want to buy Princess Diana for his eved, he's going to have to pay as much as that Eric fellow did. The answer is supposed to say nothing matters. That's true. It means a shifcha of this standing. That you would have to pay a special amount of money for Princess Diana. It doesn't mean a generic shifcha. It's not like it would mean when it comes to the loss of an arm or so on, which would be a person who could do that kind of work and now is unable to do that kind of work.
It could be the Yerotah for himself. Why do you say he had a... It's so beautiful, so, oh, why would I have it? I'm a Gayer and they use my wife's house. But isn't that an element?
You mean, let's make it an open sex market? That's an interesting question.
And she's a Canadian, and she's a Asura.
So she wouldn't be Asura.
So, wait, a high level.
There's a high level geisha and a low level geisha. Obviously,
right,
the only component is not whether she's a betula or a betula, obviously.
But a Jewish girl is equivalent to a high level? How are we differentiating? Are we differentiating the girl, her status in the society?
The status, right. It would be the status. We would take an equivalent status. Very difficult thing to establish, for sure. Very difficult. Especially says, "Hold Benot Yisrael, Ram Benot Melachim." You got to pay a Princess Diana price for like anybody. I mean, there's this. That she took Rabbi Akiva.
I would say it's the difference between 100 and 200, which is the difference between the Jewish girl loses.
That's the Knas component. That's a unique element. But over here, there's also the service component. Sexual service component.
It's not tied to class at all. It could be any amount of class. It could be just be this much, and then the salary could be.
That's exactly what Rabbi Zera was saying. That's true. It's strange. It's very strange. Normally, we had to divide kids by included everything. Over here, we're separating it out. It's very difficult for us to keep it separate. Which is what Rabbi Yaakov was pointing out. I mean, if the Knas is Kumara, but to low, do we even see it incorporating the issue of the Ketubah? Right? So then, I mean, is. I always thought, is what Rabbi Yaakov was saying, I always thought that's the difference between a betulah and a gulah. The truth is, however, there is a very logistical difference between the betulah and the gulah. In other words, we need to take into consideration service. Sexual service is service. Tashmish means service. So ultimately, the shamsho is service. He's not allowed to make use of her services, so fine, he'll buy it for someone that he cares about that can make use of her services. That's the point. But ultimately, that is, interestingly enough, a completely different component than the purely sexual definition of a woman. Her value is betula of a woman. Fantastic. All right, we need to see yet more of the interrelationships as it does to define in terms of Naira, Bulgaria, and so on. But these are very, very subtle issues. Because the Torah is defining certain states. We find the same thing in the Parsha of Erech, which the Torah defines a certain fundamental value to things that is given. This is the value. It has nothing to do with your status and so on and so forth, with your capabilities. It has only to do with a given. You're such and such an age, you're such and such a sex, then you're going to pay such and such a value for the earth, right? This is a similar issue. Difficult for us to be under. I mean, where does that come from? How does it change our relationship to elements in a person when we look at those things?
Bad corn is always sort of strategically more than
possible, not necessarily. Oftentimes,
assume the differential is their own idea.
Assume the differential is their own idea. So, not necessarily though. Okay, your answer.
Next one.
Yep. And tomorrow you're going to have to be practicing. We need you to be in really good practice.
Look, the High Commissioner.
Koma kom sheish mecha in knas, koma kom sheish knas in mecha. Of course, we know
that this is Rabbi Meir Shita, we've already seen it before, that where you have a right to sell, then you have no rights to the knas, and vice versa. And that's because kitana yesh la mecher, a father can sell a kitana, but once she reaches the age of narut, we know that she would even go free even if he had sold her, because she's yotzah b'simanim. So obviously you can't sell her when she already has those simanim. Those simanim are simanim of narut. So the second that she goes from being a kitana into being a nara, there can't be mecher. And on the other hand, the nara yesh la knas, ve'en la mecher. So therefore, according to Rabbi Meir, the two states are mutually exclusive. If there's mecher, once she's no longer a ketana, there's no mecher. But while she is a ketana, there's no knas, as it says. Nara doesn't say ketana. Habogeret ein lo mecher v'lo knas. And once she already has passed those 6 months from the onset of puberty, so now she has neither, he gets no rights to mecher, and there is no knas at all. All true, but only according to Rabbi Meir. Aval chachamim omrim, yesh knas b'makom mecher. The Tanya, where do we see this in the Braita? Ketana mibat yom echad v'ad shtavi shtei se'arot, yesh la mecher v'ein la knas. So from the age of 1 day of age, because, I mean, after all, there's no sexual issue here that requires 3 years old, because he's saying that there is no knas, there's only sell. So you could sell the ketana mibat yom echad as well. Until she reaches puberty, there is a din of mecher, but there's no din of knas, because the Torah says a nara. Mishita vishte sarot, that she becomes a nara, achati bagir, yesh la knas, but in la mecher, because she was already yotze b'simani, it certainly can't be sold, did Rabbi Meir. Shaya Rabbi Meir omer kol makom sheish mecher in knas, kol makom sheish knas in mecher. But here's the crucial point, there's another sheet, and that's chachamim. The chachamim omrim, ketana mibat shalosh shanim yom echad. Why do I say Yivat Shalosh Shanim Yom Echad, not Yom Echad? Because I'm telling you that there's also the din of knas. The din of knas is dependent on actual intercourse. If she's less than three years old, then that's impossible, because it's not considered to be intercourse, technically speaking. Therefore, there would be no knas. So from the age of three, there you have, indeed, you have knas. Yeshla knas. What do you mean, yeshla knas? I'm telling you, what, there's no mechad? Knas in mechad, but... Don't you understand? I'm adding a new rule. In other words, yes, you're right about the first rule. From the age of 1 day, she has mecher. But I'm telling you, from the age of 3 years, there's also knas. So af knas b'moko mecher. There's an additional, there's a crossover. It's not true that every place there's mecher, there's knas. That we wouldn't say. But we also wouldn't say every place there's mecher, there's no knas. There is an area in which you have both. And that is 9 years worth of knas and mecher together. 12 years of mecher, 9 years of knas and mecher, and then you have only now, you've got 6 months of knas without mecher. That's how we see it. So they overlap. Omer of Chista, my time is Rabbi Meir. Where does Rabbi Meir get the halacha from that they're mutually exclusive? Omer Kra, v'lo tiye li'isha. Look, it says over here, tihiyeh. We said that the meaning of tihiyeh is that she has to be the one that agrees to the kiddushin. It means that she is a person who has the ability to make herself married. So she can't be a ketana. So that means the lo tiyeh yishas bedafka nara. V'rabbana, omer shlokish, omer kra. The Torah writes the word na'ara. It should say it without the hey, as the Bach puts it in. Take out that hey. Omar Kron Na'ara, spelt without the hey, that tells me I feel a ketana b'mash. So where the Torah writes a Na'ara in this funny way, it means a young girl. Before Boger. But anything before Boger. Shomer Rav Papa, great Rav Chana, Rav Papa, who was the son of Rav Chana from Kaluchid, he heard this beer of Rish Lakish, that without the hey, it means a ketana. Azal Omra Kameda of Shimi Barashi. So he went to tell Rav Shimi Barashi the halacha. Omar Le Atona Hamatintala. That's where you learn Rish Lakish on like that? No. I'll tell you how we heard over Rish Lakish. It's slightly different. It comes out to be the same thing. But what we heard was like this. Anana Hamatintala. Omra Rish Lakish. Amotzi Shem Ra ala Ketana Patur. If a man would claim that a Ketana had been Mizanatachtav after Erisin, and he claimed that he didn't find the tulin, there's no din. Our whole halacha of the mea shekel and so on does not apply. How do I know? Shineimar benatnu la'avi hana'ara. Over there, writes it with a hay. Nahara malei diberakatur. Why does the Torah write it with a hay?
to tell me, look, man, I mean a Nahara and only a Nahara. So she's a Kitana. She's not included in this halacha. What are you trying to tell me? I'm like, only because the Torah says the extra hay, therefore I know that the Dinamotzi Shemra is set on a Nahara, not a Kitana. For heaven's sakes, if you read the Pusik just a little bit more, you're going to know that that's true without the extra hay. But you're telling me that Hava Nina Filu Kitana. Do you think that even if she's a Kitana, it's a Dinamotzi Shemra? Does it not say the Farish Be'im Emet Hayah Adabar Hazet? Lon im Tzu'u betulim the Nara. Vot Siyu et Hanara Petach Beit Avius Kalua. That if it turns out to be true, so then she's going to be killed. She's a Kitana. She's not Chayev. Kitana Lav Bat Onishim. Obviously, it's not referring to a Kitana. Ella, the correct way of understanding the Diyak of Resh Lakish is like this. I know that this Pasuk is referring to a Nara, not a Kitana. From the fact that you're telling me that it can't be talking about it, that's obvious. But the reason that it writes Nara in this particular case is a hey, although there's no way that I could have mistaken it to mean anything but Nara, is Bedavka to tell me, Kanara, only here, you know we're talking about a Nara, I want you to know. If I need to be referring to a Nara, I write a hey. And in any place where you'll find it without a hey, you'll know that it's also a reference to a Kitana. But normally, komakam shenema nara like that, without the hey, afilu kitana b'mashma, and therefore, it's true, yes, that Rish Lakish, based on this, an implication of the halach of Rish Lakish, is what you said, that Rish Lakish, because what we had in Rish Lakish was the real, the accurate thing that Rish Lakish had said. It's true that by implication, in this particular case, v'natam la'via nara, where it's written without the hey, it's got to mean even a kitana. That's true. The rabbi. He just didn't say it that way. Excellent.
Why is a